It's wonderful that you're here with us. Before we get started, we'd like to ask a prayer on our seminar today for our teens, so please bow your heads. Dear great eternal Father in heaven, we're so very thankful to you for your love, your kindness, your mercy. We're very thankful, Father, that you have provided us this opportunity during this winter family weekend to be gathered together to be able to learn more about you, more about your way of life. And we're particularly grateful, Father, for the opportunity to speak with our teens, to have a seminar with them focused, Father God, on them, on a very important subject that's important, Father God, for them as they navigate through this life. So we certainly do ask for your blessing now, and we ask for your inspiration, and we turn this seminar over into your hands, asking these things of you, in the name and by the authority of your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, welcome to today's seminar. This seminar is directed to our teens. It's specifically meant for our teens. It may not be appropriate for preteens and may be alarming to those who are not aware of the tremendous pressures faced by our teens today on an ongoing basis. Also, I want to qualify everything in this message that is for our teens, that if you as a teen have not done so, please find the courage to discuss this subject with your parents, with your guardian. As you see, the title of this seminar is Gender Identity, Called to be Different. Now, I selected this topic for this seminar because you know as well as I do that you have access to every form of sexual deviance in the palm of your hand on your cell phones. You know that, and so do I. And with so many teens spending so much time at home or on the computer with their smartphones and other devices during this pandemic, along with the fact that many of you know other teens and other adults who have chosen various sexual identities, be it gay, be it bisexual or transgender, etc., I'm very concerned, and the church is very concerned, with the influence and indeed the corruption that is very likely taking place in your heart and in your mind. It is a concern that we have, and that is why we want to address this topic today. This seminar will be discussing gender identity, sexual identity, and sexual orientation from a biblical perspective. We will look at scriptures that set the foundation for God's design, then focus on sexual identity specifically, providing thoughts for you as teenagers to consider as you navigate the reality of this world that you live in. So this is a very important subject for you, and I hope you take it all to heart. Gender identity and sexual identity are very complex and broad subjects, and I don't want to be misunderstood. This seminar does not address all of the complications. It does not address all of the twists and the turns of gender and sexuality. I believe that as teens, you should hear a voice and a perspective on this topic from the church, specifically addressed to you as a teen. Now, some of you may have the opinion that I'm opening up a can of worms, so to speak. But as most of you know, and certainly as you know as teenagers, this topic is being addressed today front and center in both your social circles and in social media. It's all over the place. You deal with it at school, you deal with it with your friends, in the media at large, and it is definitely available, as I've said, in abundance on your technology, on your phones, on your computers. You have access to all of this. What's most important is what God's Word says. And we want to take a good look at what God's Word says concerning gender and sexual identity. So the purpose of our seminar today is to give you as teens some thoughts to consider regarding gender identity, and sexual orientation, which is based in biblical wisdom. Because ultimately, you know as well as I do that if you're 14 to 19 years old, the challenges, both visual realities that are being discussed regarding this subject, literally it's everywhere. You're dealing with it. You're dealing with it. We want to give you some ammunition as you do so. As part of the introduction, I want to start with first a statement and then two brief definitions. First of all, the statement. In spite of what you see and the number of celebrities choosing sexual identities different than God's design, God's design was and is a binary of male and female. And what I mean by a binary is that God's design is either male or female. That is His intent. That is His design. A definition. Gender identity has to do with whether you recognize yourself or others as male or female. Sexual identity has to do with how you feel and how you think of yourself sexually. Also, how you feel and how you think about others sexually that may or may not align with one's gender identity. And we're going to be spending a lot of time talking specifically about sexual identity, what's going on in your mind. We're going to look at these definitions a little bit more closely. We'll begin with gender identity and then move on to sexual identity. And in the process, we'll touch on various definitions and various challenges that you face on this particular subject. So let's get started. You know, as teenagers in God's church, you know the section of the Bible, the Genesis biblical history regarding God's creation of human beings, male and female, and you know the section very well. But let's make certain that we understand what took place in Genesis and what God's design is regarding gender and sexual identity. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Genesis 1, verse 26. When God created human beings, He created us according to the binary of male and female. It says here in Genesis 1, 26, then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over all the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. When it says man here, it means male being of the human being kind. From a biological perspective, God gave the male kind what science describes as the X and the Y chromosome. You know this in from school. God also made the male biologically different from the female that He would create, and that He gave the male an external genital organ termed in English a penis. And we can also mention that He gave men a different bone structure, muscular structure, and other biological characteristics that makes him more the male kind. Genesis 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man, the male being, should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him. God decided to make another being within the human being kind that would be a helper comparable to the man, to the man being. We'll look at two definitions here. He said a helper comparable to him. Helper in the Hebrew is azer. It means a help, an aid, a female helper. Comparable means the part opposite, the mate, the opposite part of. Genesis 2, verse 20. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. You see, God recognized the need for a helper comparable to Adam before Adam did. God knew what He was creating. God made man first, then God is bringing forth woman. Verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. This is where the definition of gender identity fits very well. How one sees their own gender, and how one sees another's gender. Adam saw that he and Eve were different. Her shape was different. She had hips, she had breasts, she had a vagina, and she was in a more delicate frame than he was. Science also describes the female biology as having XX chromosomes. However, Adam could also see that Eve was like him. Eve was like him. God didn't make Adam in the image and the form of God and then make Eve in the image and the form of a dolphin. That's not what God did. She was also like him. She was the opposite, yet comparable to him. She was the binary to the man, and he was the binary to the woman. Male and female, a binary. Man and woman, a binary. Gender identity by God's design was clear. Gender identity is a person's internal sense of being male or female, how one sees themselves or how one sees the other. God's creation is a binary. It's a binary. Let's continue. Genesis 1, verse 27. Then God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. This is where sexual identity begins to fit in. We talked about gender identity. Now sexual identity begins to fit in here. It is not just a matter of how one sees themselves or how one sees the other as male or female, but how one thinks. How one thinks about themselves and how one thinks about the opposite sex based on God's design. Sexual identity is a component of an individual's identity and reflects their sexual self-concept of male or female. Adam thought of himself as male. Eve thought of herself as female. This is being challenged today. We want you as teenagers to be aware of this. Genesis 3, verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living things. She was the mother of all living. She was the mother of all living. Now, throughout these verses, God is not only clarifying his binary creation of man and woman, but he's also clarifying the biology. He's clarifying the gender identity, the sexual identity, as well as the sexual orientation. Now, sexual orientation is a person's sexual identity or self-identification represented in how one acts. How one acts. Sexual orientation is a reflection of the Creator's intent in his design. It has to do with being fruitful, how one acts, multiplying. As a teenager, how one acts sexually should reflect the binary of male or female. How one acts, that's the sexual orientation, which should be a reflection of how one thinks of themselves as male or female, which is a reflection of how one sees themselves as male or female, which is sexual gender, which matches their biology of being a male or a female, both in genitalia and in chromosomes, which is a binary of male and female. Male or female. One or the other. Why were we designed and created from a biological, gender, and sexual perspective? We're designed to reflect the image of God. We're designed to receive the blessings from God. We're designed to bring forth children upon the earth. Within the human being kind, God created a binary of man and woman. The purpose for creating woman was that man needed a helper, a female, and that helper female would be the opposite. It would be the counterpart corresponding to him. God then gave them, male and female, the directive to be fruitful, to reproduce, to multiply, to make numerous, to fill the earth. To fill the earth. This is God's design. That word dominate or dominion in this context means to tread down. To tread down. They were to work together, use the resources of the earth, and build a life together, a family together, and have dominion over the fish, over the birds, over every living thing on the earth. This is God's design. God created in male and female also sexual attractions toward each other. The impulses to be sexually attracted towards each other, ensuring the multiplication of themselves. Ensuring the multiplying of themselves, and God decided to make the sexual process an exhilarating process only to be enjoyed in marriage between man and woman, the binary. That's God's design. It's being challenged. It's being challenged. God also gave man and woman his law regarding male and female sexuality. Genesis 2, verse 9, and out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is what God designed. God not only designed male and female as a binary, but part of God's design is also his law. His law about how these binaries were to work. Now, we don't have time today to explore all the places in Scripture where God defines his law regarding sexual relationships between a man and a woman, as well as the consequences of breaking those laws. As a teen in God's church, you know the rest of the story. You've heard it many times, that man and woman decided to reject God's law of life and take for themselves the knowledge of good and evil, and to decide for themselves how they would choose to handle every gift of God's creation. And those gifts of God creation that they decided to choose from themselves, from the tree of good and evil, included the biology, the gender identity, the sexual identity, and sexual orientation. And all of those are under attack, and you have to realize that. You see it around you. Since the days of Adam and Eve, since they listened to the serpent, mankind has rejected God's law. Mankind has rejected God's design and God's purpose. Now, I recognize that there can be considerable confusion around the biology, around the psychology, around the sociology, etc., with regard to a person knowing and understanding or accepting the binary of male and female. But as a result of humankind's, man and female's disobedience to God's law, the reality and the sadness of sexual deviance that you face as a teenager is everywhere. It's in school, it's in your neighborhoods, it's among your friends, it's in movies, TV programs, and it's all over the internet. And you carry in the palm of your hands your cell phone, which provides you the knowledge and the exposure to both good and evil. And as a result, what we have presented before our teens today, before you today, is sex organ reassignment to change the biology. There's voluntary top surgery, which is voluntary mastectomies to change the biology. There's testosterone and estrogen injections to change the biology. There's gender identity anomalies, sexual identity anomalies, and sexual orientation anomalies. This is the world that you're in. As a teenager in God's church, there can be and is a considerable amount of mass media and peer pressure to consider or to tolerate or to experiment with or to look at images of or video clips of or read stories of or blogs or anime drawings or cartoons or TV shows that promote alternative sexual behaviors other than what God designed. That's the world you're in. My question is, all of that has been laying the groundwork, going through the scriptures. My question is, how are you as a teen processing all of this? How are you thinking about all of this? You see, ultimately, society's goal and Satan's goal is not only for you to experiment with the opposite sex before God's timing and within his law of marriage, but for you to question your own sexual identity and to see the various sexual identities of others that are contrary to God's law as normal and acceptable. That's what you're facing. You see it in the cartoons, you see it on the sitcoms, and again, it's in the palm of your hands. Therefore, what I want to focus on for the balance of this seminar is sexual identity. Sexual identity. How are you thinking about all of this? How are you processing all of this? Consider this quote from Wikipedia. It says this about sexual identity. Sexual identity can change throughout an individual's life and may or may not align with biological sex, sexual behavior, or actual sexual orientation. Development of self-identification as homosexual or gay is a psychological and socially complex state, something which in this society is achieved only over time, often with considerable personal struggle and self-doubt, not to mention social discomfort. Now, there's so many spiritual and moral concerns with those statements. And teens, you have to be aware of them. You have to be alert to them. First of all, God's design is not for sexual identity to change throughout life. That is not what God designed. Sexual identity should align with the biological sex, the sexual behavior, and the sexual orientation of male or female as assigned at birth. Sexual identification as homosexual, gay, or transsexual, or transgender is not something to be achieved. In this society, maintaining sexual identity as God designed can indeed be a personal struggle, a complicated struggle encompassed with self-doubt, not to mention social discomfort. But the focus and the effort should be in maintaining God's design, not in challenging or changing God's design. And that's what's happening in the world. God's design is being changed. God's design is being challenged. Now, at this point, I'm going to state, for your purposes of clarity, different ways to look at this particular seminar. I want to state this a couple different ways. When speaking about sexual identity, I'm not primarily focusing on what society thinks. I'm not focusing on what society thinks. Society will continue to think whatever it chooses to think, or whatever Satan leads it to think, What I am concerned about and the purpose of this seminar is about what goes on inside of your head and inside of your heart with regard to your sexual identity based on your birth biology, your gender identity, and how your sexual identity is being challenged by society, how your barriers against sin are being nudged, they're being pushed, they're being shoved, and can cause you as a teen to stumble with regard to your sexual identity or your sexual preferences or how you view others' sexual identity. You see, sexual identity is under attack. And it's not entertainment. In other words, how are you as a teenager guarding and governing the natural sexual feelings that God placed within you as a male or female based on his binary design? How are you protecting those feelings? What I am challenging you to think about is, are you guarding your sexual identity, and how do you guard those feelings of sexuality that are natural? Because Satan and society are taking advantage of God's gift and causing many young people to become very confused and very vulnerable at a very early stage in life. The bottom line is, God's design, your sexual identity should match your gender identity, which should match your gender biology at birth of being a male or a female. I'm not dealing today with the exceptions, because in every one of these areas today, there are exceptions. There are exceptions on the biological area, the gender area, the sexual identity area, and the sexual orientation side of things. I'm not dealing with the exceptions. God created sexual desire, and God created by his design the sexual desire for the opposite sex. And again, based on the gender binary of male or female, male or female. Now I want to address several scenarios that I know you as a teen in God's church have faced or will face very likely at school or with your friends or with family members who profess to have accepted different sexuality preferences. I want to address a couple of different things. First of all, I want to talk about what I've termed friends of friends. Friends of friends. When I speak of friends, I'm speaking about the friends that you have that are not in church. The friends that you have that are not in church. And I separate the friends you have in church from the friends you don't have in church because the Bible looks at them differently. And we're going to look at that. What do you do? How do you process the fact that you want to have friends and peers or friends in your peer groups accept you, that you enjoy being around, even though they may themselves have various gender or sexual identities? How do you deal with that? Couple of thoughts. Thought number one, we're going to go through a couple of things for you to think about, things for you to consider. Thought number one is this: God designed sexuality as binary, male and female. I'm driving that home because that's under attack. For you to think about, you have to know that regardless of your personal feelings, your personal friendships, the difficulties that you have or your friends may be challenged with in being accepted, that God's design, he designed sexuality as binary, male and female. You have to know that. You have to believe that. You have to know that as truth. You have to know that. Following God is challenging, and it will become more challenging as time moves on. And if you're on the internet in Tumblr or TikTok, DeviantArt, anime, or multiple other internet sites and interests, you come face to face with alternative sexual lifestyles and offerings to follow these individuals or to make virtual friends with those who are looking for others who think like they do. But you have to know that God does not want you to choose any other sexual identity than what He designed and what He gave you at birth. Is it hard at times and getting harder to maintain God's perspective and your own commitment to God's design? It absolutely is. God knows that it is difficult. You can read through the recorded history of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 18 and Genesis 19. Life can be difficult when it comes to sexual deviance. The question is, how are you processing this? How are you dealing with this? How are you handling this in your social circles? That is what I want you to consider. Now, there is a very important section of Scripture that I want to focus on. The heading in my Bible to this particular section says, immorality must be judged. But notice carefully what Paul is pointing out here. We're going to step through this. Paul is speaking to those in Corinth, and Corinth was a seaport city known for its sin. In Corinth were people of God, including teenagers like you in Corinth. This passage is directly applicable to you as a teen. Why? Because you have been called and given access to God's truth and God's way of life. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 9, he says this. He said, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of this world. Now again, I qualify this by saying that if your parents directs you to not associate with certain individuals or certain groups of individuals, the fifth commandment says, obey. Obey what your parents ask you to do. You have the responsibility also to choose your friends very carefully. But I know what happens in the mind of many teens in the church when they leave the house, when they go to school, or they go into their bedroom and they're on their cell phones, they're on their computer or other media devices. So I'm speaking very realistically to our teens in the church. Notice the first thing that Paul mentions here is the sexually immoral people of this world. Teens, the reality is, and most of you know, that there is no place that you can hide from the sexual deviance in society. There's no place you can hide. In order to hide, as Paul said, you would need to go out of this world. You would need to go somewhere else. You would have to head to another planet, not go to school, not have a cell phone, not look at TV, not read a book, not have friends. And that's not possible. That's not possible. And certainly when you move into the workplace, in most companies, it's not possible at all. Now, don't allow this phrase, sexual immoral people, to resonate in your head in some holy or sanctimonious way. You know, there are other areas challenging teens that Paul also mentions here. He says covetous. You know, there are teens who always desire what someone else has. That's covetous. Or lie and deceive to get their way of life. That's extortion. Or drool over movie stars or musicians or TV personalities. That's idols. Or people with various teen sexual tendencies contrary to God's way of life. The sexual immoral. All of these categories of people are among U.S. teens, and you know it. You know it. Sexually immoral means that the sexual choices that they have made or the lifestyles that they are living is contrary to God's law. It's against God's law, God's design. As Paul says, you're going to have friends, you're going to keep company with others, you're going to come across individuals, be it classmates, schoolmates, teachers, etc., who have chosen a sexuality contrary to God's design. How are you dealing with this? How are you processing this? You have to know and be committed to keep yourself true to the fact that God designed sexuality as binary, male and female, male and female. What about friends at church? What about friends at church? What if you or a friend in the church are struggling with these issues? Thought number two here. You have an obligation and a responsibility to get help. To get help. When it comes to friends at church, in particular, you have a higher obligation towards them. And we're going to look at that. There is a distinction made between friends who know the truth and those who do not know the truth. With your friends in the church, you should make a deliberate effort to help them live according to God's design regarding sexual identity. Paul made the statement in verse 10 that there is an understanding that you keep company with those in the world. But you can read verse 11 just like I can. Verse 11 says this, "But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not to even eat with such a person." Now, is Paul saying here that if you have friends in the church, or if you yourself are struggling with sexual identity, or gender orientation issues, that the church is obligated to disassociate with you in totality? And that disassociation would be the same for a covetous person, an idolater, a reviler, a drunkard, and an extortioner. Just cut them off. Is that what Paul is saying? You know, the important clarification here in this statement is anyone named a brother who is. This is speaking to an individual in the church who has made the decision that they are going to embrace sexual identity, they are going to embrace gender identity, sexual orientation, or sexual immorality contrary to God's law, against God's design, as their way of life. This is who they are. This is who they want to be. In other words, what Paul is saying here is before it gets to the place, don't keep company stage or don't eat with stage, get help. Get help. What about friends in the church? Get help. Teens, the purpose of the church and church pastors are to help you first understand what God's intent is and desire for your life, and then help you to deal with any and all sins that you face in life so that you can repent of them and be found pleasing to God. That is what God wants. You know, read John 8. You know the recorded history of the woman who was caught in adultery. Christ said to the woman, "Go and sin no more," in John 8, verse 11. If a person in the church does not choose to change their behavior, which is contrary to God's law, then 1 Corinthians 5:11 comes into play. They become an individual who is. We don't want that to happen. Teenagers, you are clever. I know you are. I was clever as a teenager. You're clever at hiding your sins. Teenagers have always been clever at hiding their sins. But God knows your sins. God knows all of your sins. You're not hiding anything from Him. And the church is here to help you with your sins, whatever they may be. As a minister of Jesus Christ, Paul states, "Not that we have dominion over your faith, but are fellow workers for your joy, for by faith you stand." By faith you stand. The insidious nature and destructive nature of where Satan has brought society these days is way beyond the fear and the shame of pregnancy in my day that led young girls in my day and continues to lead young girls today, back then, girls in the church, to choose abortion. But on top of that reality today, on top of abortion today, Satan is attacking the very core of God's design. To have you question the very basis of your sexual identity, which can result in irreversible damage and irreversible chance and choices that you can make in order to change in this physical life. Some of the choices that individuals make cannot be reversed in this physical life. You have an obligation for yourself and for others to get help from someone, starting with your family, starting with your parents, and also the church, who will tell you that the only path that God is pleased with is one that He designed, and then help you to get on that path and to stay on that path for life. 1 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 12, Paul continues, "For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside?" You see, judging is first teaching, educating, helping, showing, leading, forgiving, to bring the person to repentance. Getting help when struggling with temptations of the mind and heart is what you must do, and what U.S. teens in the church should be looking out for other teens in the church to help them to do. Not use the internet and the sexual preferences that are out there as entertainment. Verse 13, "But those who are outside God judges, therefore put away from yourselves the evil person." The evil person is the individual who, after teaching, educating, helping, leading, forgiving, decides that they're going to choose a way of life that is contrary to God's design. That becomes an evil person. There is a lot in the media and in peer groups pressuring you to consider alternate sexual identities as the norm. What's going on inside of your head? How are you dealing with these things? A couple of things for you to think about. A couple of things I want to bring up. You know, as a girl not finding a boy who likes you, or a boy not having a girl who likes you, is not a reason to flow and follow into the field and into the sin of same-sex attraction. The pressure to be accepted by your friends or peers is great. I understand that. The pressure to belong has possibly never been greater. But this is where you as teens have to be strong. You have to be strong. Also, you must guard against mixing fun with various sexual alternatives, entertainment with various sexual alternatives, horsing around with various sexual alternatives. And social awkwardness is not an excuse to walk down the path that is contrary to God's design. Social awkwardness is often the reality of the teen years. Get help, get counseling. Reading on the internet the various opinions about dealing with social awkwardness mixed with various perspectives of sexuality can be extremely damaging. Immensely damaging. So teens, you have to hold yourself, and you have to hold your friends at church to a higher standard, the highest standard, God's standard. And if you find it challenging or overwhelming, please get help. Now, let me be clear. Sin is sin is sin is sin. Sin is breaking God's law. It comes with consequences. As a teen, engaging in sexual behaviors, even with the opposite sex, is wrong. But engaging in sexual behaviors with those of the same sex can seem logically less problematic than getting pregnant. I know how the teen mind works. This is less problematic than getting pregnant, but it may even be less challenging socially for you because you quickly can gain peer recognition by accepting other sexual preferences. But embracing alternative sexual identities and gender identities and sexual orientations is not what God designed and is not what God would want you to do. Thought to consider number three, the power of teen sexuality. Do not awaken love before its time, before God's timing. The desire to be loved, to feel love, to express one's love or attraction sexually, it is natural. It is natural. God designed it. But God expects you to protect those urges, to keep them in check until the right time of life when they could be expressed within marriage, within the marriage relationship as designed by God. In the book of the Bible titled The Song of Solomon, it makes clear that human beings should not underestimate the power of sexuality in God's design. Therefore, Solomon states in a very stark way, warnings three times, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases God. Until it pleases God. Now, love here is, in this context, means love between a man and a woman. It means mere sexual desires. It is referring to the more passionate, romantic, sexual type desires that is being just obliterated today. Love in this context is not referring to the brotherly love that Christians have that practice towards each other, nor the love that a parent may have for a child, nor the love of God, of unconditional love. This is talking about sexual impulses. Don't awaken them before God's time, before it pleases Him. Once that sexual desire awakens, the eyes, the mind, the heart, the emotions, the impulses all awaken and want to be addressed. They want to be acknowledged. They want to be appreciated and they want to be satisfied. And Satan's world has always been filled with lures to awaken love towards sexual immorality and temptations before God's time, before it would please God. And the recorded history of Sodom and Gomorrah, the Corinth's temple prostitution, brothels in Pompeii are well known. There is destructive sexual behavior recorded throughout the Old and the New Testament. During my time as a preteen in the 1970s, it was an abundance of pornographic magazines in the neighbor's home or in some of my family members' home that were thought to be hidden and out of the way that no teen could ever discover. No place like that exists. Teens will find it. You know that's the case. And even then, during that time, the abundance of the pornography was heterosexual in nature. But today, you have access to every form of sexual deviance in the palm of your hand, on your cell phones. You know it, and so do I. Not only that, the abundance of depictions, videos, stories, letters, blogs regarding every form of sexuality, regarding today's transgender craze, is there to awaken, enhance, and question your sexuality at every opportunity. Everything, including what God designed, is at your disposal for you to consume. And you know that's the case. The power to entice teen sexual deviance, it's overwhelming. It's an override. The abundance of visual stimulations makes the willingness of experimentation more likely. Sexual deviance and offering of various sexual identities moves from the media. I have to understand this. It moves from the media. It moves from your phone to your mind, from your mind to your emotions, from your emotions to reality or virtual reality, and from virtual reality into your character. Awakening those senses and feeding those desires is sin. It's sin. You need to get help if you're challenged in any of those areas. Point number four to think about. Protect your privacy, your mind, and your body at all times. At all times. Be keenly aware of the many ways and places where God's design is being challenged. Consider this advertisement. It says here, being a teen isn't easy, especially when you can't relate to the characters and messages you see on the big screen. But with the call for diverse media representation growing louder than ever, movies that feature LGBTQ+ stories and characters are finally getting some time in the spotlight. We've put together, this is the advertisement, we've put together the best LGBTQ+ movies that highlight a wide range of identities and experience for families and teens craving better representation of their lives. These picks celebrate love, perseverance, and the reality of life icons that have led LGBTQ communities to where it is today. That's an advertisement. I will not read through the list of the dozens of titles that they advertise. You know them as teens, your parents may not, but you know many of those titles. You must protect your mind. Also, with regard to some of the other experiences in lives, locker rooms and restrooms, be aware of these environments. If the environment present situations that are contrary to God's law, speak up. Talk to your parents. Get advice. Talk to your pastor. Ask your coach if you can hit the showers a few minutes earlier. Buy a decent-sized towel and don't rely on the skimpy towels in the gym. Girls, buy towels with Velcro on them so you don't have to worry about them falling off. If you're unfortunate enough to have common showers with no dividers, find a place in a corner to shower. Try not to make eye contact. And buy wash products that does several things so you don't have to carry a lot of bottles into the shower area. Thought to consider number five. Question any source of information that does not equate with the Bible. Question any source. Teachers, coaches, and others in position of authority, if what is said or what is done does not match with the Bible, or there is a promotion of various sexual orientations or sexual identities or sexual genders that are not consistent with Scripture, make sure you are aware and alert to both the subtlety and the directness. Just because it comes from an authority does not make it right. A couple of areas, physical contact. If ever there is physical contact with an adult or someone else in a sexual manner, bring it to the attention of your parent, a guardian, or your pastor. Teaching in the classroom. You may choose to regurgitate what is being taught back to you on a test or a quiz to pass the test. If you choose to, make certain that you are clearly aware of the truth. If you're not sure what to do or you're confused about the material, bring it to the attention of your parent. Bring it to the attention of a guardian. Bring it to the attention of a pastor. And then the use of pronouns. You may have friends that change over and decide that they want to be called she, he, or it, which is opposite their gender. If you're uncomfortable with this, talk with them about it. If you have difficulty with that, talk to your parent, talk to a guardian, talk to your pastor. And thought to consider number six. when it comes to sexuality, treat the information that comes through mainstream media as poison. Treat the information regarding sexuality that comes through mainstream media as poison. I have stated this several times during this seminar, during this Bible study. The media devices, be it a phone or a TV or iPad, etc., provide you access to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's all there. It's in your hands. And by and large, when it comes to sexuality in the media today, it is mostly evil. It is mostly poison. That's the truth. What you allow in your ears and what you allow your eyes to see has an impact on your character. That is what Satan intends. That is what he has designed. Be careful with the power of the media. It can change your life, and it can change it for the worst. So as a summary for today, number one, God designed sexuality as binary, male and female. It is God's design. It is not to be changed. It is not to be tampered with. Are there all sorts of exceptions and things that happen biologically through birth? Of course there are. This is Satan's world. But God's design is not to be changed. It's not to be tampered with. Number two, you have an obligation and responsibility to get help, particularly with other teens like you who are in God's church. You have been called to a way of life. It is challenging. If there's no other place where you can find a safe haven to get help, where else but in church? But you as teens have to help each other. Number three, don't awaken love before it's time, before God's timing, before it pleases God. Number four, protect your privacy, your mind, and your body at all times. At all times. Number five, question any source of information that does not equate with the Bible. But what it means is that you need to know the Bible. You need to understand the Bible. You need to get that inside of your head, inside of your heart. You need to know that it's true. It needs to resonate with you. You have to decide to live your life accordingly. We don't want 1 Corinthians 5:11 issues amongst our teens. And number six, when it comes to sexuality, treat information through mainstream media as a poison. I know the power of what you have in your hands. It's far more than the power that was around me as a teenager. You have it in your hands. You have it on the iPhones. You can send the information encrypted to one another. There's not a piece of software out there that can stop you from going to sites that you should not go to. It's up to you to protect your mind and protect yourself from mainstream media. We have covered a lot of information today. We certainly have. I know that. But you are the next generation to lead God's people on the road through this life to the kingdom of God. You're that next generation. You are indeed called to be different. Embrace it every day of your life. Fight against it. You are called to be different. Thank you for accepting that calling.